There was no Jack Argro, attorney at law, in the Boca Raton Yellow Pages, and this initially caused concern. Finn Yarber frantically worked the unsecured phone, seeking directory assistance all over South Florida. When he asked for Pompano Beach, the operator said, "One moment, please," and Finn actually smiled. He scribbled down the number, then dialed it. A recorded voice said, "You've reached the law offices of Jack Argro. Mr. Argro keeps hours by appointment only, so please leave your name and number and a brief description of the real estate you're interested in, and we'll get in touch with you." Finn hung up and walked quickly across the lawn to the law library where his colleagues were waiting. One by one, they retired to the small conference room, where Argro joined them. The room was cramped when Beach and Yarber worked there, writing their letters. With Argro as the fourth man in, and bringing no small amount of pressure, the room had never felt so crowded. "I know only what I've been told," Argro began. "My brother is a semi-retired lawyer in Boca Raton. He has some money, and for years he's been active in Republican politics in South Florida. Yesterday, he was approached by some people who work for Aaron Lake. They had investigated matters and knew that I was his brother and that I was here in Trumbull along with Mr. Spicer. They made promises, swore him to secrecy, and now he's sworn me to secrecy. Now that everything is nice and confidential, I think you can connect the dots." The brethren were in a collective trance. "Keep going," they said with their eyes. Argro looked at the three faces and pushed onward. He reached into his pocket and removed a sheet of paper, which he unfolded and laid before them. It was a copy of their last letter to Al Conyers, the outing letter, the extortion demand signed by Joe Roy Spicer, current address of Trumbull Federal Prison. They had the words memorized, so there was no need to read it again. Spicer finally picked it up and glanced at the words. "I guess you know everything, don't you?" he asked. "I don't know how much I know. Tell us what they told you." "You're running a scam, the three of you. You advertise in gay magazines. You develop relationships with older men by mail. You somehow learn their true identities. Then you extort money from them." "That's a pretty fair summary of the game," Beach said. "And Mr. Lake made the mistake of answering one of your ads. I don't know when he did this, and I don't know how you found out who he was. There are some gaps in the plot, as far as I'm concerned." "It's best to keep it that way," Yarber said. "Fair enough, I didn't volunteer for this job." "What will you get out of it?" Spicer asked. "Early release. I'll spend a few more weeks around here. Then they'll move me again. I'll walk by the end of the year. And if Mr. Lake gets elected, then I'll get a full pardon. Not a bad deal. My brother gets a huge favor from the next president."
"So, you're the negotiator," Beach said.
"No, I'm the messenger."
"Then shall we begin?"
"First move belongs to you."
"You've got the letter. We want some money, and we want out of this place."
"How much money?"
$2 million each," Spicer said,
and it was obvious this had been discussed many times already.